Now turn to part four. Part four consists of two tasks. You'll hear five short extracts in which professional writers are talking about their work. Look at task one. For questions 21 to 25, choose from the list A to H what made each speaker choose writing as a career. Now look at task two. For questions 26 to 30, choose from the list A to H what advice each speaker would give to new writers. While you listen, you must complete both tasks. You now have 45 seconds to look at part four. Speaker 1.
I first put pen to paper in a serious way when I was 16 and undergoing what seemed then a huge roller coaster ride of a time. Anyway, in order to cope, I jotted it all down in amazing detail. I must have been unbearable because Mom kept telling me to take up a new interest, though she meant something more sociable, I think. Anyway, I've stuck at it and learned a few things along the way, like not ignoring any feedback. Be it positive or negative. Most of it is rubbish, but there can be a few gold nuggets too. People tell you to rise above rejections from publishers and so on, but that's easier said than done in my experience.
Speaker 2.
When would-be writers ask for tips, I think they're hoping I'll give them the secret to getting published. Something like, find out what the average reader's buying, then imitate it and the world of books will open to you. Would that it were that easy. It seems odd to say become a consumer of the written word in all its forms and that'll inform your own work, but that's it, really. You see, as a teenager, I felt too intimidated in class to express my adolescent feelings. It was only when I ended up in a dreary office drafting reports on tedious products that I started writing lively pieces for magazines to break out of the daily grind.
Speaker 3.
I started writing thanks to some really stimulating classes given by someone who made the written word come alive. It was this which helped me subsequently develop a fascination with what language can do. My agent is keen on the notion that the learning process never ends, so although it's tempting to tear up rejection letters, it's best to resist the urge and refer back to them every time you write a new piece of work. What I'd pass on is to make sure you don't neglect your general well-being, as your overall stamina helps the writing process, which demands strength of all sorts.
Speaker 4.
I'd always recommend being professional rather than writing purely to gratify yourself. To my mind, clarity is key. It's so tempting to submit the first draft of a novel you've struggled over for years once you've typed the last page. If it's shelved for a while and then worked through dispassionately, the end result will be much sharper. As to how it began, well, at high school I yearned to be an actor, but I was far too shy. Writing plays felt safer and meant I could be in charge of my own little world. I think our drama teacher had a hand in it too, although unintentionally. She was rather overwhelming, so retreat seemed the only course of action.
Speaker 5.
In primary school, I wrote stories in my head while the teacher was doing her best to explain poetry to us. The thing that was really instrumental in getting me going, though, were my parents' parties. I'd try to look bored, but all the time I was intrigued by the guests, soaking up half-understood snippets of conversation to jot down later. One thing I'd like to suggest when Setting out on a novel, it's crucial to have an outcome in mind. Of course, this may change along the way, but without one, you'll just meander along and lose impetus. That's why reading other people's work can be counterproductive. You could just end up unintentionally with a carbon copy of something.
Now you'll hear part four again. Speaker one.
I first put pen to paper in a serious way when I was 16 and undergoing what seemed then a huge rollercoaster ride of a time. Anyway, in order to cope, I jotted it all down in amazing detail. I must have been unbearable because Mom kept telling me to take up a new interest. Though she meant something more sociable, I think. Anyway, I've stuck at it and learned a few things along the way, like not ignoring any feedback, be it positive or negative. Most of it is rubbish, but there can be a few gold nuggets too. People tell you to rise above rejections from publishers and so on, but that's easier said than done in my experience.
Speaker 2.
When would-be writers ask for tips, I think they're hoping I'll give them the secret to getting published. Something like, find out what the average reader's buying, then imitate it and the world of books will open to you. Would that it were that easy. It seems odd to say, become a consumer of the written word in all its forms and that'll inform your own work, but that's it, really. You see, as a teenager, I felt too intimidated in class to express my adolescent feelings. It was only when I ended up in a dreary office drafting reports on tedious products that I started writing lively pieces for magazines to break out of the daily grind.
Speaker 3.
I started writing thanks to some really stimulating classes given by someone who made the written word come alive. It was this which helped me subsequently develop a fascination with what language can do. My agent is keen on the notion that the learning process never ends, so although it's tempting to tear up rejection letters, it's best to resist the urge and refer back to them every time you write a new piece of work. What I'd pass on is to make sure you don't neglect your general well-being, as your overall stamina helps the writing process, which demands strength of all sorts.
Speaker 4.
I'd always recommend being professional rather than writing purely to gratify yourself. To my mind, clarity is key. It's so tempting to submit the first draft of a novel you've struggled over for years once you've typed the last page. If it's shelved for a while and then worked through dispassionately, the end result will be much sharper. As to how it began, well, at high school I yearned to be an actor, but I was far too shy. Writing plays felt safer and meant I could be in charge of my own little world. I think our drama teacher had a hand in it too, although unintentionally. She was rather overwhelming, so retreat seemed the only course of action.
Speaker 5.
In primary school, I wrote stories in my head while the teacher was doing her best to explain poetry to us. The thing that was really instrumental in getting me going, though, were my parents' parties. I'd try to look bored, but all the time I was intrigued by the guests, soaking up half-understood snippets of conversation to jot down later. One thing I'd like to suggest, when setting out on a novel, it's crucial to have an outcome in mind. Of course, this may change along the way, but without one, you'll just meander along and lose impetus. That's why reading other people's work can be counterproductive. You could just end up unintentionally with a carbon copy of something.
That's the end of part four. There'll now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. I'll remind you when there's 1 minute left so that you're sure to finish in time. That's the end of the test. Please stop now. Your supervisor will now collect all the question papers and answer sheets.